Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's time to talk about Felix, the pet insurance brand made just for cats. Starting at under $1 a day, you can get whisker-to-tail protection with a plan as unique as your cat. Sorry, dogs. This customizable coverage is exclusively for feline friends. Learn more at felixcatinsurance.com. That's felixcatinsurance.com. Get it? Meow.
Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. Visit felixcatinsurance.com/terms for all terms and limitations.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's welcome in a Super Bowl MVP, longtime NFL on CBS broadcaster, and that is the great Phil Sims, kind enough to join us right now once again on the Zach Gelb Show. Phil, appreciate the time as always. How you been, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Had a little run-in with the floor a couple weeks ago, but I'm doing well now. And look at you, man. You've been lifting weights. You getting but it's good to talk to you, and I hope everything's going well for you.
You had a little run-in with the floor? What do you mean?
I fell down and hit the floor face first. That's why I got my glasses on.
Oh, okay.
If you can see, right? Oh, that's – but I just got the stitches taken out, and it's doing better.
So is the real story here that Boomer Esiason just punched you in the face? Is that the truth there?
Well, if he punched me in the face, what would he look like after I got out of him, okay? How's that? Stop that dumbass story right away.
I can hear the headline from the New York Post now. Boomer Esiason punches Phil Sims, as revealed on the Zach Gelb Show.
Did you and Boomer get in a fight? I went, oh, my God, please. No, we wouldn't do that.
Phil Sims here with us. Let me get your reaction. The last 3 weeks, it's been awesome with Tommy DeVito. How about what you've been seeing out of the Giants quarterback?
Well, it's been really good. I think this past game we saw on Monday night against Green Bay was the cleanest one he's played by far. But I think what surprised me, well, two things. You know, I saw him in training camp. I watched him at Syracuse. I saw him at the University of Illinois. And his arm strength looks better than it did in college. And his movement has been really good, too. So the Giants, just to talk about them, it's kind of like the league has slowed down, which it always does after a certain period of time. You know, wide receivers, pass rushers are not as explosive as they were just because of the duration of the season. But we're just seeing people come around. The receivers for the Giants, Jalin Hyatt, that looks every time I watch them. Wandell Robinson. And then the other thing, the biggest thing of all to me is Kayvon Thibodeau. The fact that he is constantly getting after the quarterback. And, you know, Zach, you know as well as I do, if you can't hit the quarterback in the NFL, you're going to lose games.
No doubt about that. So people are like, I know it's a three-game stretch. The kid's playing great. No one knows what to make of the future of Tommy DeVito. But that storyline is there, even though they just paid Daniel Jones. Some people don't believe in Daniel Jones. Like, do you think DeVito could take it to a level where he's challenging for Jones's spot next year?
Well, let me think about that. No. How's that? I mean, it's just no. It's not going to – come on. Every backup quarterback that comes in the NFL now after a game, well, I don't know, but I think they found their guy, you know. Josh Dobbs, he might be the future of the Minnesota Vikings. No. Kirk Cousins just rips it up almost every single year, and they were on a roll, and that really hurt them. But It's amazing how quick we jump into that. No, Tommy DeVito, what he has done, he has shown everybody in the NFL and, of course, the Giants in live action that really counts, that he's really come through and played some good games. But, you know, to me, he's just solidified himself probably on the team again next year, that's for sure.
If Daniel Jones could stay healthy.
But wait, Zach.
Yeah.
He won't be the starter unless Daniel Jones or whatever is not ready to go or something like that. But, yeah, let's just see how it plays out. But he's doing great so far, no doubt.
If Daniel Jones can stay healthy, what do you think he could still be, though, as a quarterback?
Well, you know, I'm a fan. I liked him coming out of college. So I didn't, you know, was I surprised he was the sixth pick of the draft? Yes, of course. But I thought he would go high, you know, somewhere in the top 15 of the NFL draft. He's got everything you want as far as size. He can run. He's got a good arm. I think he's very accurate throwing the football. And it was just a mess this year for him. It really was in every aspect. And no matter who you are as a quarterback, when you're not getting protected or things are not going well, it can affect you. And I thought it did a little bit. You know, I don't know the future as far as what the Giants think of him and things like that. But I feel pretty safe in saying he'll be, if he's ready, which I don't know if that's a big question after an ACL injury. If he's ready, he'll be the starting quarterback at the start of the year next year.
Phil Simms joins us right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big Ben was talking the other day about how the Steelers have lost their way and people don't fear the Steelers anymore. When you look at the current state of the Steelers, right, there's been a lot of questions about the Patriots as well with Bill Belichick. Do you think it would be a mistake if the Steelers look to move on from Mike Tomlin this offseason?
Well, I've never even thought about it, Zach. I mean, they're not going to move on from Mike Tomlin. There's no way. I hear it talked about sometimes. All that good, they're not. Look, I think this about them. If their defense was completely healthy, they would be a tough out every single week. But they got some injuries over there. I think the Steelers, finally, their offensive line starting to come around a little bit. And I kind of like it. You know, I watch every one of their games. You know, I think we overrate sometimes the talent around the quarterback. Oh, they got great skill people. No, they don't. It's good, but I never look at it and go, wow, Deontay Johnson and Pickens, they're just top, big time, top 10 NFL wide receivers, which they're not. So, and you don't turn it around. Because we fire a coordinator, they're not going to explode on the offense right away. That takes offseason, training camp, creating new plays, new system, everything involved there. And to think you're going to change that during the middle of the year, it's just not going to work.
All right, you know it very well, right? You've had success, and then when you did go down, right, you saw Jeff Hostetler come in and have success as well. What has this been like, just wondering for you this year? Because we talked about it with DeVito. There's been now Joe Flacco, right? Jake Browning. There's been these backup quarterbacks that get these opportunities now, and they're really running with it this year. It's been wild to see.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I think I did it today, and I've already forgot the number, like 24 different starters this year across the NFL. I mean, some teams like Cleveland, four different starters. I think it's a good time of year because you know who you are and how to manage your team better for the backups to come in. But I think what we're seeing, and I talk about it all the time too, one, you should have truly three quarterbacks that you trust going into the season now. Okay, we're all over this thing that, well, we got a number one, but we don't want to pay the backup any money, Zach, because we're trying to save it for the guy that runs down the kickoffs on the outside or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, who was it that told me this? Pat Kerwin, who is behind the scenes at CBS. He goes, and I believe this, and if I was running the team, we would have it. Four quarterbacks on the roster. You know, two on the roster, whatever, and maybe two on the practice squad because for many reasons. To groom a couple of them, but as we see, one and two can get hurt in this NFL very easily. The speed of the defense just keeps going up. And the offensive line, the separation between them and the defensive linemen, gets a bigger separation every single year. So if you're a quarterback in the NFL, I don't care what your offensive line is and anything, you're going to get hit. These defensive guys, no matter what rules we bring up and try to do, you're going to get hit as a quarterback. And a lot of times it's just luck if you can stay healthy.
Phil Simms here with us. Phil, Cam Newton the other day on his podcast, I'm sure you've seen it, called Dak Prescott – game manager. How would you describe Dak Prescott as a quarterback these days?
Well, man, I tell you what, I would love to be a game manager like, you know, Dak Prescott. I mean, oh my God. That'll be my opening statement this Sunday on CBS. So it will, really will. He is on fire. He's leading the team. His energy is real. Mike McCarthy, what happened to him? He's like changed. And I'll tell you, but I really mean this too, Zach. He changed after they lost that game against San Francisco. And I can almost draw up the plays they did that game out in San Francisco. It was just something that everybody runs at the beginning of training camp. It was so basic. And now they've gone and they've opened it up. And Mike McCarthy is calling the plays. Hell, by the time they even tackle the guy on offense, he's already over there. Here we go, Dak. I got it already. And, of course, he's got a play sheet that looks like a New Jersey diner menu. I mean, is it unbelievable? But he's ripping through it. And it's, you know, it happens in the NFL. You get in these grooves where it just works. And Dak Prescott, Mike McCarthy, the offense, everything about that side of the ball is really clicking. And like I said, if he's a damn game manager, I'd hate to see the guys that really go out there and can win games. I mean, that wouldn't even be Patrick Mahomes if we're doing it this way. So, no, he's not a game manager. He's much better than that. And, you know, I'll say this too. He's throwing the ball better than he ever has in his career. More power. He's limber as hell. He's moving around, making plays, running and throwing. He's just a different guy than I've seen in the past. And I really think it changed after that Frisco game. And where he broke out was the Los Angeles Charger game. I think it was a Monday night or a Sunday night.
20-17.
Where we saw him move around and make some plays. And I think that's where the dam broke. They go, let's start doing more for him and make him the central figure of the offense. And he has carried it for sure. Did I answer the question?
Yes, you definitely did. Phil Sims. He never tiptoes around a question. Never dances around a question. There's no doubt about that. Who is your MVP, though, right now with what you've seen? Is it Dak?
He's right there. You know, this, you know, Dan, we're getting into the Heisman Trophy thing. After week one, who's going to win it in college? The Heisman Trophy, what do you think? And, you know, this MVP is just constant.
I think it's Tyreek Hill, personally.
Yes, if he can stay healthy, if he's, you know, I was watching Mike McDaniels or reading what he said today. That made it a little iffy about where he is and do what's best for him and be careful because they need him for the long run and not just this week. But, yeah, I would say that too, that if it all stays healthy and he keeps on the trend that he's going, yes, you can see as we watch that game Monday night, when Tyreek Hill goes out, it changes the Miami Dolphins football team, not just the offense. It changes everything about him, I think. But Dak would be right there too right now.
Also, when you look at Brock Purdy, your view of Brock Purdy right now is what? Is it similar to the Dak conversation when you hear people call him a game manager? You roll your eyes at that, or you put some validity behind that?
This game manager thing, stop it. You know, what the hell is this? You know, to be a game manager, you know how hard that really is? It's really hard. And people just throw the thing out there because they don't want to give credit to somebody. But to manage a game from the quarterback position along with the team and the coach to score and to really be thinking of all that is only for veteran quarterbacks. And but answering with Brock Purdy, oh, but his guys catch it and run for extra yards. Oh, my God. Did we say that when Patrick Mahomes had Tyreek Hill and that receiving group when they were doing plays that nobody else did? Did we say, well, it's Patrick Mahomes, they're catching it, but look what they're doing afterwards? Some of these arguments are so stupid, I can't even get into it. But Brock Purdy makes really good decisions. And I was just watching the game last week, yesterday probably, I can't remember. And he threw a couple of these, what I call, throw it in the bucket, you know, that's what everybody says. It went over to the defender, came down right into the hands of his guys, and I counted three of them that I went, wow, those were the difference in the game. One of them is the Deebo Samuel, I think. He went across the field. But that was the difference in the game. So to call him a game manager, first, he's a better athlete than we give him credit for. He's bigger than you think. And his arm, well, it's not a rocket, but his touch and his feel throws great spirals. It's all really good. So I'm on the bandwagon with Brock Purdy.
How about
the guy that does their games? Mm-hmm. I'm losing his first name. The big ex defensive player, Ryan.
Oh, Tim Ryan. Yeah.
Tim Ryan. Thank you. Tim, when they were in preseason, you know, a couple years ago when he was a rookie, last year or two years, I remember him saying on the telecast, if he was 6'4", he'd have been drafted high in the first round. And I went, wow, that's an overstatement, you know, but he's worked for the team. But he was at practice every day, and he saw it, and they were just – and I heard some of the vibes coming out of there. I thought, oh, they're overdoing it. But now we see, Zach, that what he was saying was real.
You know,
he's put them on the field.
Phil Simms, there's some years in the NFL where teams struggle the first 3 months, and then they get hot in December, and the next thing you know, they're in the Super Bowl. Can you see the Bills being that team this year, currently at 7-6 with a big game this weekend up against the Cowboys?
The yes or no is no, I don't. I mean, I know if you're going in the playoffs or whatever, there's a couple teams you really don't want to see. The Bills would be one, like, out of nowhere. Oh my gosh. You know, we're expecting a game where we're going to be really favored and have maybe an easy game. Not easy. It's never easy, but make mistakes and still beat this team. The Bills, I think the Denver Broncos, if they make it, wow, they're extremely dangerous. And I forgot my last team who it was. Cleveland. But Cleveland's beat up, got a lot of injuries too, so those are hard to overcome. But the Bills, Zach, it's such a tough road, and I think their margin of error is so small. And but you never know. Quarterback, if they can protect him enough, he can get really hot. I do like what they've done the last few games on the offensive side. It's a little more diverse, I guess you would say. And I like it. When they put Josh Allen under center, I think it's great. The play action game, but they don't do it enough.
Last thing I'll ask you, as Phil Simms is here with us, I just want your take on everything that transpired with Mahomes after the game, with all the complaining, with Kadarius Toney lined up offsides, and it ended up negating that crazy play, Kelce throwing it back to Toney for the touchdown that ended up not being a touchdown.
Well, my favorite statement is, oh, they robbed this one of the great plays and highlights. And I go, this is not by the Kansas City Chiefs. It's people on team. I go, it's not about you. It's about what's right or wrong. Look, it was an egregious lineup, basically offsides. And I'm sorry, but Kadarius Toney is a good player, or he has great potential, and they kind of need him to come through. And Patrick Mahomes and all them, how they reacted, and Andy Reid, that's just that was real. I mean, my gosh. I mean, thank God the coverage wasn't back then what it is now. To me, with my mouth and some of the things I could say after a game, oh my God. But you know, Patrick Mahomes truly is loved by almost everybody that follows football, and so he had a little outburst. And
this was the first moment he's really got some criticism, like in the majority of people criticizing him. That's how likable he is.
Yeah, you're right. But it's okay. You know, every once in a while you gotta get dirty. You gotta get in there and just state your case. So I don't blame him. But I didn't look at it and go, wow, that they cheated the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, everybody's got all the records. Well, it's only been this and this. I don't know what else to say. Mm-hmm. You look down the line and you see it. I will say this to you, Zach. I watch a lot of games, even as I'm watching them live at CBS and trying to see things. I see illegal formations all the time. But they don't call them all because the rule is this: a blade of grass. So if there's even it's 99%, we're not, whatever. It's, they call it, they usually give the offense the benefit of the doubt. And, but the one with Kadarius Toney, I thought it was so evident or whatever that they had to call it. So it was tough, but you're always going to lose a couple tough games every dang year. And Kansas City, you know, they still have the talent to get it done, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, this Sunday, we're all going to be tuning into the NFL on CBS, and everyone expects you to do one thing, and that's the Tommy DeVito celebration. Are we getting that this Sunday?
Hey, all I can say is I was getting ready to do it and didn't do it.
Can we get a little preview here? Come on, Phil, give us a little preview.
No, we're not going to do it. One, I'm not going to, because you just can't do it right. But if I'd have grown up here in North Jersey, mm-hmm. I probably would have had to play linebacker, because I don't like Italian food. I love it.
Okay,
I love it. Oh my gosh.
I was about to have a heart attack here, Phil, if you said you don't actually love Italian food. Okay.
The Italian food up in this area is better than New York City.
Yeah.
You know, I tell them, oh no, but there's some mom and pop places here.
You're not wrong.
Oh my gosh. I think it was 1980. My wife is from right up here where we live. And we went to an entire restaurant. And I was trying things. Oh, my gosh, this is awesome. It wasn't fried chicken and mashed potatoes and what we had down in Kentucky all the time. So it was great. And Tommy DeVito, the whole thing, good for him. It's a lot to overcome and keep your head clear as a quarterback. But I think just listening to him, and he's really playing it low key, which I respect, and good for him.
He's the great Phil Simms. Phil, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for doing this.
Back, you're the man. Keep lifting those weights, man. I tell you. Jack.
You got it. Thanks so much. There he is, the always kind Phil Simms joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Make sure you check out his podcast with his son. Sensational stuff and a good listen each and every week. All righty, we'll take a break here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, Giannis wants his game ball. We'll discuss all the craziness between Giannis and the Pacers from last night.
When things feel a bit chaotic, Instacart helps deliver milk and sausage. Add a little life to your cart. Get stuff from literally all your stores, from baby wipes to albacore. Add a little life to your cart. Instacart helps get your groceries. Your first three deliveries are free.
Download Instacart. Add life to cart. Terms apply.
Felix, the only pet insurance plan just for cats. With plans starting at under $1 per day and as unique as your cat. You'll love them, and you can't imagine living without them. And as each and every one of your fur babies rubs against your leg, go ahead and tell them the exciting news. Felix Cat Insurance offers whisker-to-tail protection. The kind of protection that you both, or should we say all, deserve. Whether you've got an indoor cat, an outdoor cat, or they're a little of both, Felix Cat Insurance has you covered. Our curated cat insurance plans were designed to meet the special needs of your feline family members. Accidents, illnesses, cancer, diabetes, emergency care, alternative therapies, hereditary conditions, exam fees, and much more. Customizable coverage exclusively for felines. Sorry, no dogs allowed. FelixCatInsurance.com. Get it? Meow. Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. For all terms and limitations, visit felixcatinsurance.com/terms.
Bring the sounds of the season to life with the Philips Fidelio FB1 soundbar featuring DTS:X and IMAX Enhanced. Build your full home theater wirelessly when you connect to multiple devices using DTS Play-Fi technology and experience the thrill of immersive audio that moves above and around you as it transports you into your favorite films when you're home for the holidays. Visit philips.com/home-sound to learn more. DTS.
Dedicated to sensational.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You got Bucks lust? We'll talk about those Milwaukee Bucks right now. They finally got a victory up against the Indiana Pacers, where the Milwaukee Bucks have played them three times this season. Early in the year, Giannis had like 50-something points, and you saw the Pacers get a victory. And then in the semifinals of this fugazi and stupid and irrelevant midseason tournament, you had the Indiana Pacers take care of the Milwaukee Bucks. So last night, the Bucks finally get a win up against the Pacers. And not only that, Giannis Antetokounmpo had a 64-point performance, which is a franchise record for a single game with the Milwaukee Bucks. And you had Dame Lillard move into the top five, moving past Kyle Korver for three-point shots made in NBA history. So I've never thought about it this way, where after the game, Oscar Tshiebwe, right, the youngster for the Indiana Pacers, gets his first career bucket, and I guess the Pacers wanted to get him the ball, and Giannis was very annoyed with the Pacers, and I just saw this clip last night, it was the first time I saw it, where Giannis is running to the locker room as if he was going to go fight someone and say, give me my basketball back. You know, you don't take my basketball from me. And when I saw that, and it's just the way that we're kind of now programmed on X or Twitter, whatever we're calling this device now, where when you go on that app, there's so much bull junk on it, where there's so many fake things with AI and then things that get posted from years ago. Like Nick Saban, right, if you go to the Georgia-Alabama SEC championship game, there was a speech of Nick Saban after the game that was posted. Oh, look at the pregame speech Nick Saban gave Alabama before going up against Georgia. And I was watching that. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. This is unbelievable. This is great. And our pal Josh Booty sent it to me. And then I'm looking at the video and I see all these comments. Oh, this is an old video. It's an old video. It's an old video. And I texted Josh. I'm like, you know, this is an old video. He's like, no, I thought it was from the other day. And I said, so did I when you first sent it. But then I looked at the comments underneath it. So when I first saw that video last night of Giannis like bolting off the court looking as incensed as he'll ever be for a guy that's usually pretty jovial and exuberant and running into the locker room to go get that basketball, I'm like, oh, that can't be real. There has to be something else to this. And this just has to be a clip that's going viral now, which was from maybe last year or earlier in Giannis Antetokounmpo's career. But then you see this big story that's developing from this, and it just kind of shows you the state of the NBA. Like, rarely in the regular season do we talk about the NBA for actually what occurred on the court. Like, when we're talking about the NBA, it's about Adam Silver giving out these medals for the in-season tournament champions, which were the Lakers. And now the Lakers are going to hang a banner, which is just a disgrace. It's like, oh, Draymond Green, oops, I did it again. Whether you're going to choke Rudy Gobert one week and then hit Yusuf Nurkic the next week. We'll also talk a little bit, I guess, about the Spurs and Victor Wembanyama, but they just lost their 18th game in a row, and no one's talking about the Spurs, right? You have one of the more exciting players in the sport in Victor Wembanyama, and everyone's curious to see what he's going to do, and no one's even talking about him. It's, oh, Greg Popovich told the Spurs fans, right, Thanksgiving weekend to not boo Kawhi Leonard. So it's not really like we're talking about things on the court in the NBA regular season, because the regular season product is so inferior, where you need something like a crazy tournament to talk about it, or a coach getting on a microphone during a game and telling the fans to stop booing, or Giannis getting in this fight over a game ball, or Draymond just doing something ridiculous, which is like, okay, tell me about another day that ends in Y. But this one, it's so crazy for like two reasons, because the behavior all around is petulant. But the other part about this, and Giannis is my favorite player right now in the NBA, and even I'm saying this behavior is petulant. But the other part about it is the only time I really can recall hearing about a player keeping a ball is in baseball. Like when someone hits a milestone home run or they get their first hit, you always see the ball thrown to the dugout, or then they go into the stands and you have like 10,000 security guards right around the guy that hits or that catches a historical home run ball. And then there has to be some negotiation that goes down in the locker room in the aftermath. And maybe you meet the player, you get season tickets, you get a few signed baseball bats and all that stuff. But I never knew, like in the NBA, and maybe this isn't traditional, that if you score your first bucket, like you expect the game ball, or even if you have a big moment like for Damian Lillard, and I don't even know if Damian Lillard wanted the ball. It's Giannis wanting the ball for Damian Lillard, or maybe that's how he spun it in the aftermath after what he did. But Dame moves into fifth all-time in the three-point list, so what, Dame wants that basketball? Or Giannis scores 64 points, a franchise record, he wants the basketball from that game? Like, Samter, you've been around for a while. Like, the only time I ever recall is talking about a ball being kept is in baseball. Like sometimes like a jersey in football. Like remember when Brady's jersey went missing after the Super Bowl, or like a Hall of Fame wants some gear from a game. But from a player getting a ball in a sport or a puck or something like that, like in a hockey, you see that sometimes. If there's a legendary goal, they'll put tape on it and they'll write on it. But in basketball, I've never heard, and I didn't know that this was a thing, that you score your first bucket and you want your ball, or you have like a historical game and you want the ball from the game. That's what I was surprised that this was actually why Giannis was freaking out last night.
Yeah, I feel like I remember there being a big deal about the ball that LeBron scored the
most
like
points
the,
of all
the
time.
Most points of all time, that fadeaway jumper. Mm-hmm. But you're right.
But that's different. That's like, no offense to Giannis, what he just did last night, or Dame going to fifth all time or whatever it is,
right.
That's nothing for most points in the history of the league.
Right. And up until Giannis talked about it after the game, I had no idea there was two game balls. So I didn't know this was a thing. Maybe it is a thing. Maybe there are players who have multiple balls in their like trophy.
Well, everyone's got multiple balls in the game.
First point and thousandth point. Who knows? Maybe players have that kind of stuff.
So they change the basketball in the game is what you're saying?
I think that...
Because you said there's two game balls.
Like, that's what Giannis said. I mean, I don't know. I guess that maybe, like, you know, if they dribble the ball for a while, then maybe they'll use a different ball during a TV timeout to pump the other ball up or something. I don't know.
He's physically talking about the ball that they played with in the game. Like,
right.
In football, they do game balls and things like that, and they send you a commemorative football thing
they
like
go
that.
Back and forth. There's a kicker's ball. There's a puncher's ball. Quarterbacks have two or three balls, right? You know, if something goes into the stands or whatever, if a ball gets flattened, I don't think they pump balls up in the middle of the game because it's a very exact science, as you well know, Mr. Patriot.
Yeah, that's fine. Bunch of nonsense.
But yeah, no,
ideal gas law. Learn it. Study something in school.
I'll be honest. If you watch that game and you watch some of the clips from that game, it was very chippy. There was a moment where Tyrese Halliburton was running, after a shot, and Giannis just kind of gave him a forearm shiver, knocked him over. There was another play where Giannis went up for a shot, and he got tackled to the ground. Basically, his brother was going crazy on the bench. The game was chippy. I think that Giannis was just pissed about the game. And
he wanted to make a bigger deal about it. But
he was just being petty. Like, you guys suck. I hate you guys. I want that ball. Mm.
Yeah, but in that regard, let me ask you this. Who deserves the game ball then? Like, let's say there's one ball here. Is it Oscar Tshiebwe, who it's his first career point? Is it Giannis Antetokounmpo, who I guess scored the most points in a regular season game for the Milwaukee Bucks? Or is it Dame Lillard? Who is
definitely not Dame.
Now fifth all-time moving past Kyle Korver.
Definitely not Dame, because it's fifth all-time, and he has a chance to keep moving up that ladder. So I don't think it's going to be Dame, because fifth all-time, it's cool, but whatever. All-time franchise scoring record, I guess I would give it to Giannis number two, but I would give it to Tshiebwe first.
I mean,
his first
point,
that's a pretty big deal.
I could maybe argue flip-flop Dame and Giannis, but I still think that the ball should go to Oscar Tshiebwe.
He's going
to
keep moving up the list. It's, scoring the most points in franchise history, like, that's a pretty big deal.
Now I didn't see this, but this is what D-Cell told me during the break in the newsroom, that Richard Jefferson, I guess on his podcast or whatever platform he's on, I like Richard Jefferson. He's a good analyst, and I liked him as a player, too, when he started his career, when he was playing with the Nets, and I was able to watch him play a bunch. But he was saying if Giannis wanted to do the right thing here, because I guess Giannis got one of the balls back, and he's like, oh, I know this isn't the game ball. I know what the game ball feels like, because now he's an expert with what the game ball feels like. If Giannis wanted to do the right thing, Richard Jefferson was saying, buy the game ball from Oscar Tshiebwe. Like, you have all this money in the world. But the other part is, it's weird to me, and maybe some people get in a mind of thinking that they have all these cool moments and they want to remember some of these moments, but we're talking about a guy that has two NBA MVPs, has a finals MVP. You wouldn't think most points in a regular season game in franchise history is like a game ball that really needs to be on the trophy mantle, which makes me think that you're probably right, more so in regards to that it was from the chippiness of their three games this year that probably led to maybe Giannis getting a little bit out of character and being a little bit more of a not a nice person, let's just say, to the Pacers compared to if this was another team. Maybe he would have been like, oh, let the youngster have the game ball. Let's hear from Giannis Antetokounmpo on all the game ball drama between him and the Indiana Pacers.
I don't know. I really don't know. I have the ball, but I don't know if it's a game ball. It doesn't feel like the game ball to me. It feels like a brand new ball. Like, I can tell, from I played, 35 minutes a day. I know how the game ball felt. The ball that I have, which I'll take, and I'll give it to my mom for sure, but I don't know if it's actually the game ball.
It's tough to rip a guy for the way that he acted when he goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to give the game ball to my mom. That is a really savvy move by one Giannis Antetokounmpo, but it's actually even more savage by the Pacers. Giannis puts up this whole big stink about it, and you go, oh, yeah, we'll give you a ball. Here's the game ball. We just made it the game ball. But it's not actually the game ball. I would actually respect the Indiana Pacers more. Here is Rick Carlisle, the coach of the Pacers, on the scuffle for the game ball with the Pacers and the Bucks.
I don't think any punches were landed, but my general manager got elbowed in the ribs by one of their players. And so he certainly has a bruised rib, and who knows, you know, if it's anything more than that.
This is the most absurd thing ever. If that's true, that the GM of the Pacers now has bruised ribs because he got a little elbow to the ribs over a stinking game ball, everyone's just so ridiculous. You know, that really sums up the NBA regular season. Just how stupid the NBA regular season can be at sometimes. This is going to be a top five talking point of the regular season, this game ball. It shows you how pathetic the regular season is in the NBA.
I'll tell you this, though. We've always said this. The NBA regular season doesn't start until Christmas. Christmas Day is the official start of the NBA season.
What about the midseason tournament? I thought that was supposed to be this big
deal.
Well,
it might change, but until that picks up a little bit more steam, it's Christmas. And then after Christmas, then, you know, you get the NFL playoffs and whatever, but then the NBA starts ticking up a little bit more. Around the All-Star break especially, end of January, early February, that's when the NBA really starts heating up.
Well, it is beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. We are right around the corner in the whole Christmas theme, as Christmas is right around the corner. I actually like Christmas. Even as a Jew, I thoroughly enjoy Christmas. I find it very, very fun. And there are some years where I have some family members that aren't Jewish where we do celebrate Christmas with them. Christmas is one of my favorite holidays, even though I don't celebrate it every year.
Do you eat turkey on Christmas?
No.
Delicious turkey?
No one actually likes turkey, all right? You just fall in line with all these traditions and you're brainwashed. And then if you come over to the actual right side, I'm not even going to say the dark side, and you eat some lasagna on Thanksgiving, you'd be better off for it. You'd actually be in a happier mood.
I'm more of a light meat fan, not a dark side fan.
But like put it this way. You're a grump and a grouch. Boyle's a grouch. You guys both have one thing in common. You eat dried, disgusting turkey on Thanksgiving. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And I don't want to be this guy, because I was once the guy that was shamed for my attire when I would show up for a shift when I was doing the 2 to 6 a.m. overnight and Boomer Esiason yelled at me for wearing shorts to work. Pat Boyle, where the heck were you right now? It's in the middle of December right now. It's as cold could be in New York City, and you're wearing shorts to work? Are you coming from the gym?
Yes, actually.
Were you?
Hello,
I don't know.
Hello, by the way, Zach.
Yes, it looks like you were coming from the barbershop, actually. That's a fresh cut.
Yes, so I was at the barbershop, and I get a phone call from one of our esteemed bosses, David Marinick.
Okay.
And he asks me to help out do the update shift.
Did Zach call out sick?
He did.
Oh, I was wondering why the heck you were here today.
Yeah. No, I just sat down
and chatted. We love when you're here.
I couldn't stay away from the studio.
So that is actually fair. You got called last second. You were dressed how you were dressed, didn't have time to go home, and then you show up this way to a shift. I will not then shame you like Boomer Esiason once shamed me for walking around the studio with shorts.
I think Boomer has shamed everybody here at one point or another.
Yeah, but some people—
in a good way.
Some people deserve it. Like, there was some jackass that was sleeping on Boomer Esiason's couch and taking a beer out of his fridge. I don't know who that was.
Who did that?
His name was like Hat Oil or something, Oil Boyle.
That was a long time ago.
I've
grown up since then.
You have. You've matured. You have.
But
some people come in here, they think they're the big man on campus. They get humbled very quickly. They never change. You adapt. You found a way to get better. And I think now you're respected amongst many of your peers here at CBS Sports Radio and WFAN.
Speak for yourself.
I appreciate that. I did not see us going down this road so early on here.
No.
So I was getting a haircut. Then I was going to go to the gym. And I was like, do I really want to skip the gym? Or because all this weekend, I'm going to be eating like an absolute pig.
Yeah.
So, like, dude, once I get close to Christmas, you say you love Christmas.
Yeah.
And the holiday season.
Well, Thanksgiving starts it.
Yeah. I don't know why.
It starts the fatness.
This is probably just human nature. Mm-hmm. Like, starting December 1st to 25th, any sense of, like, having a diet or sticking to anything, out the window.
Well, and also, a lot of it's mental, because you could wake up feeling like a fat you-know-what, and then someone gives you a compliment. Like, Phil Simms just joined us a few moments ago. He said, I'm looking jacked. He said, I'm looking good. I said, thank you very much, Phil.
He buttered you up.
Now I got buttered up. And this Saturday, when I go to the Poconos, I'm going to be eating a lot of wings. I'm going to be a fat pig. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Update time. Here he is, Pat Boyle.
I'm Kate Abdo, the host of Kicking It, a new weekly show from the CBS Sports Golasso Network, where Clint Dempsey, Charlie Davies, Mo Adu, and I connect with the biggest personalities from global soccer and beyond to learn about their journeys and what makes them tick. This is the place for football fans to hear unfiltered conversations with the game's most familiar faces. So what are you waiting for? Follow and listen to Kicking It on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Let's start off with Travis Kelce on his New Heights podcast. This is Travis Kelce on the Kadarius Toney offside call.
He lined up like that all game, didn't get warned, blah, blah, blah. Don't call it in that position. You can't put it in the ref's hands in that position. I love KT. If we get the opportunity again, I'm going to throw that right into his chest again. Hopefully he gets there. And I got all the faith in the world, that dude. He's one of our best players, man. So everybody hating on KT right now, man, I'm not trying to hear that. You can miss me with it.
I understand defending a teammate. But then there's just being delusional. Like, I respect him defending his teammate, but to say he's one of their best players. I know he had two massive plays in the Super Bowl last year, but let's pump the brakes. Kadarius Toney has potential. He has not consistently met that potential yet. And also, he lined up offsides. That's the other thing. It wasn't just by a hair. He was significantly offsides. And you know what'd be really funny? Oh, I can't wait. Chiefs are in a big playoff game this year. And Travis Kelce goes, oh, I want to show everyone who's boss. And he throws it to Kadarius Toney, and then Toney drops the football, and it gets a turnover, and they run that lateral play once again, and it doesn't work this time. Oh, that would be very fitting for the Chiefs season to end that way. And it would be a lot of karma with all the bitching and complaining they've done this week. I didn't know that Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, was asked about the Kadarius Toney offside call. Here's what the commissioner said.
I find it ironic that I'm standing here answering a question about the officials got it right, and they're being criticized. I think it shows you how difficult it is to do their job. I understand that, and understand it comes with the job, and I understand it comes, the officials understand that, but I'm incredibly proud of not just what they did at that game, but also what they continue to do.
It is funny, because usually when we're talking about officials or slamming officials, it's because they miss something. Or they got a call so blatantly wrong. In this case, they got it right. And there is a minority of people. I don't think it's a majority. But a minority of people that are being extremely loud in crushing the officials for getting it right. Like, could you imagine, Stu? Stu shows up to work. He always does the right thing. And then we're like, Stu, you did too good of a job today. You enforced the rules. You made sure everyone got into the studio on time, out of the studio on time. You know what, Stu? You're bad at your job because you actually did the right thing. That's what it sounds like with all this just dumb commentary from people that are going after the refs. It'd be one thing if they got it wrong, but they got it right, so therefore there should be no criticism of the officials. Here is Najee Harris on Big Ben the other day on his podcast saying the Steelers have lost their tradition and no one fears the Steelers anymore.
Ben could have his opinion about something. I'm not trying to sit here and say he's right or wrong. I don't know how to answer that. You know, Ben is a Hall of Famer. Ben obviously been here, won a Super Bowl. He knows what the standard is. You know, he been here with Troy. He been here with Rome. He knows that, really. So, you know, if somebody outside sees that, I mean, you kind of could guess and say, like, you know, maybe he's right.
It is pretty damaging when Ben says it. Because there's a few Steelers, right? Mean Joe Green being one of them. And, you know, Big Ben for the modern day fan or like the fan of the last 15, 20 years, when they open their mouths, it's like whatever they say is gold. Like, I had Mean Joe Green years ago say something. I think it was about Chase Claypool not being professional. And it went viral. And everyone was like, yep, this is what Mean Joe Green is talking about. He's 100% right. And for the Steeler fan of just last 15 years, when Big Ben says something, it carries a lot of weight. Because he was their franchise quarterback and he won two Super Bowls. So there's nothing really Najee Harris, who's not is a nice guy, but is not in the great graces of the fan base, can really say. Because if you want to be that guy that goes against Ben, it's not going to be something that turns out well for you. And not only that, it's like, yeah, no one does fear the Steelers anymore. Like, we all look at the Steelers, up, they finish above 500, up, they have a fine team, but no one actually predicts them to go to the Super Bowl because it's been a long time in Steelers standards since they won a playoff game since 2016 or since they even got to their last Super Bowl. Let's go to Jalen Milroe. I don't think anyone thought he was going to the NFL, but he made that clear on the Next Round Live. Here is Jalen Milroe when he's asked if he was returning to Alabama.
Do you feel comfortable announcing you're coming back next year? Right here on the next round. Alabama fans would love to hear this.
Yeah, I'm coming back for my senior year.
Oh, there we go. Whoa. Whoa. Flash of lights. Whoa.
Look at that.
From getting benched to now potentially leading Alabama to a national championship game, depending on what they do up against Michigan. He's been one of the best stories in college football this year. Here's the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels, on with Barstool Sports. Excuse me. Go ahead.
I'll name a list of random cities throughout the United States, just completely random cities, and you're going to tell me which one is your favorite. Washington, D.C., New York City, Boston, Atlanta, and Las Vegas.
Random cities.
Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Very interesting. Again, this was random. This was totally random, the cities we just listed.
It's a great question to ask, because then you know what the headline is. Jaden Daniels says he loves Las Vegas. Will he be the next quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders? That was a great job from the guys at Part of My Take in asking that question, because it's such a funny question to ask with all those potential destinations.
They didn't ask about Chicago. I'm surprised they didn't mention Chicago as a city.
Because too high up.
Ah, two picks.
He's not going to be the number one overall pick. They're going to use that number one overall pick on the quarterback.
No, but Chicago's got like the seventh or eighth pick, too.
Yeah, maybe Big Cat just doesn't want to be a Bears fan.
Just saying.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Did I hear Foxborough there in Massachusetts?
I did hear Boston.
Okay, just making sure. I would love to see him. Bill Belichick, Marvin Harrison Jr., Jaden Daniels, who says no? I'm good with that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, cat-loving couples. Dreaming of a proposal that includes your furry feline? Head on over to FelixPerfectProposal.com for a shot at winning over $4,000 for your dream ring and a special treat for your feline accomplice. Your engagement, your way. Let's make it happen together. Visit Felix, PurrFectProposal.com to enter today. This contest is not being run in connection with the solicitation of or the marketing of an insurance product.
Bring the sounds of the season to life with the Philips Fidelio FB1 soundbar featuring DTS:X and IMAX Enhanced. Build your full home theater wirelessly when you connect to multiple devices using DTS Play-Fi technology and experience the thrill of immersive audio that moves above and around you as it transports you into your favorite films when you're home for the holidays. Visit philips.com/home-sound to learn more. DTS.
Dedicated to sensational.